Let us now open ourselves to hear God's word to us through the scriptures. Our Old Testament reading comes from Deuteronomy. Therefore, keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with flowing streams, with springs and underground waters welling up in valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land where you may eat bread without scarcity, where you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and from whose hills you may mine copper. You shall eat your fill and bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given to you. Take care that you do not forget the Lord your God by failing to keep his commandments, his ordinances, and his statutes, which I am commanding you today. When you have eaten your fill and have built fine houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks have multiplied, and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then do not exalt yourself, forgetting the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness, an arid wasteland with poisonous snakes and scorpions. He made water flow for you from flint rock and fed you in the wilderness with manna that your ancestors did not know, to humble you and to test you, and in the end, to do you good. Do not say to yourself, my power and the might of my own hand have gained me this wealth. Our gospel lesson is part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus says, beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that you might be praised by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In this Sunday before Thanksgiving, in this time as we prepare, I'm sure everybody's thoughts at one time or another have turned to memories of Thanksgiving's past. There were a period of a number of years when my grandmother, my aunt and uncle, their three boys and two daughters would join us at Thanksgiving dinner at our house. And after we had gathered and gorged, had engaged in, you know, food, family, and fun, the males would go gather around the TV for the fourth F of Thanksgiving, football. And we would watch the Thanksgiving Day game, and we would start talking, because you can't stay silent while watching a football game. And then to hear the commentator, we kept turning the TV up louder. My mother and grandmother and aunt, who were trying to maintain a conversation back at the dinner table, found themselves having to speak louder and louder until in frustration my mother said, "Turn it down. You can watch with the volume off and you'll still know what's happening." And she was right. I fear sometimes that we may let the meaning of Thanksgiving get covered by loud surface expressions, and we don't appreciate all that it means. It is a popular holiday because I think there is an inborn sense in us of gratitude, and even a most spontaneous expression of thank God as an element of sincerity. Now, even in the face of the pandemic this year and the resulting limitations this brings, there is still a lot to be thankful for those who have avoided illness, our health is reason to give thanks. For those who have recovered, health is a reason to give thanks. Our families and the love that we share, even across distance, is a reason to give thanks. The food and the homes we have are reasons to give thanks, especially in comparison to what much of the world lives on. Giving thanks is an ingrained instinct. There are times that it can be difficult. Struggles and challenges can stifle gratitude. And what if we view being thankful not just as what we thoughtfully pray, but as what we prayerfully do? In our gospel reading, we heard Jesus' opinion of hypocritical praise and gratitude. Self-serving prayer is just noise mounting up to heaven. And for shame, we agree, those nasty Pharisees. But let's admit it, there's a bit of Pharisee in all of us. We can profess belief loudly on Sundays, getting real thankful on the fourth Thursday of November. And we make a big deal of the day, blessing our meals, our lives, our country. And have you ever been to one of those church services that I have found at times to be full of what I call the just wanna's? Lord, I just want to say thank you. I just want to say I love you. I just want to ask for this. I just want to let you know again that I love you. I just want to ask for this. I just want to be sure that you love me. I just want to win the lotteries so I can tithe to the church. I wonder if Mom with God ever gets like my mother, fed up with mounting volume. And does God ever turn the volume down as he watches us? Does God try to figure out what's important to us, not by what we say, but by watching us with the volume off? How would we pray to God with the volume off? Prayers of thanks and devotion would have to be active prayers. Our lesson from Deuteronomy speaks to the idea, I think, of silent faithfulness. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, walking in his ways, fearing him. Keeping, walking, fearing are all action verbs. And if God couldn't hear me talking it, could God see me walking it? For instance, when I'm with others, what do my actions say about my appreciation of them? If I say I love others as myself, this year, do my mask-wearing practices say, what do they say about how much I love others? When somebody is talking to me, what does my focus say, or my body language, or my preoccupation? When my female cousins from another side of the family changed from those who would love to play tag with us boys to artistic minded vegetarians who brought vegetable lasagna to a Thanksgiving feast, what did the facial expression shared by the Schramm boys say about family love? I claim to appreciate health that God has given me and the life, physical life that God has given me, but with the volume off, what do my eating and exercise habits say about how I value this gift? And come Thursday this week, will simply adding oat bran to the stuffing mix let God know I cherish the gift of life and health? We pray in church for the hungry, those who don't share the abundance we have. With the volume off, has God seen me present at Thanksgiving food collections, for instance? And come Friday, what will my trash say about how gratefully I have used or abused the resources of God's world? And here's a scary thought. With the volume off, what if God looks at my life's priorities as determined by my checkbook or my spending on Amazon? And with the volume off, I know that God has watched me and scores of ministers over the years at community Thanksgiving services announce the offering for some local hunger relief thing, and then we often sit untouched in the chancel as the offering plates pass through the pews. With the volume off, how would God's vision of my life be different? If I haven't been where help is needed, how can God see my active prayer? If I go through life slumped and dejected, how can God see my gratitude for blessings in my life? Now, we are busy and fretful people. It's good to have a day like Thanksgiving set aside to give us focus. And this Thanksgiving, will God see smiles on faces as we gather, showing the joy of sharing? Will God see heads bowed in prayer, showing we know to whom to give thanks? When I was a boy, would God have known that I really did love my great aunt Flo, even if I would pull away from her kisses because her mustache tickled? Now, let's be honest. There's no way that my life or my active life and my spoken life will ever be in perfect harmony. I'm too human, my energy is too limited, my patience is too finite. Perfect harmony will never be mine. Yet through Christ, I know that God loves me. God in Christ forgives me. God the Spirit renews me. So I do have chances to bring ever increasing harmony to my life. So I ask myself, with the volume off, can God tell that I seek to treat others with the same love, acceptance, forgiveness, and chance of renewal that Christ has given me? Gratitude lived out is a gift that returns us to God despite all the daily pressures that threaten to undermine us, threaten to undermine our faith that God is and that God is love. Gratitude will return us to God. With gratitude, we are returned to the heart of our faith and the heart of our worship. We're witnesses to the joy of creation, resurrection, and recreation. Response to that joy should be able to be recognized with or without the volume. When gratitude is lived out, when we increase the integrity of what we pray and what we do, when there is harmony in our lives, we do renew among ourselves the sense of Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. Blessings become easier to be seen and count. Love and care get shared. That intimate relationship with Jesus that others pray noisily about becomes really ours. So let's leave ourselves with this question: what will our Thanksgiving look like if God turned the volume off? Amen.